writers of the faith. So turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to see how long my voice holds out tonight. But Philippians chapter 4, if you remember, we did the first part of this a few weeks ago. So we'll do a quick review and then we'll continue on with the remainder of the message. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to start reading in verse 4, and we'll read down through verse 9. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." And we'll stop there. Before we go any further, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. I pray that you just bless our time tonight in your word, Father. Help us to stay focused upon the things that matter. Lord, help us in our mind's eye to stay focused upon you. Lord, I pray you just be with me tonight now as I share your word, Father. I pray for my voice to hold out. I pray that everything that's done and said would be in accordance to your word. And we'll thank you and praise you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Do you remember the theme of the message from 2 weeks ago, or the focal point, if you will? What part of our body, or what part of ourselves, is the focus on these first few verses? Do you recall? I'll give you a little hint. It says the title is Stewarding Our Thoughts. Stewarding our thoughts. So what part of the body is this focused on, you think? Our mind. Okay, our mind. So I'm going to do just a really quick review of the first couple of verses. Yeah, voices. Might turn into voices, I don't know. But we said, you know, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. What are some ways that we waste our mind? TV? Worry. Right? He remembered. He hasn't. No, he remembers. Yeah, there's a lot of different ways that we can waste our mind. TV can do that. If you remember, I shared the reminder. Remember back several years ago, I remember this when I was growing up, they would have a frying pan and an egg, and it would fry, and they'd say, this is your brain on drugs, remember? You know, don't waste your mind. But Christians, people, humans, waste a lot of their mind around the topics of worry and anxiety. We said there's different ways of responding to stress, but ultimately we need to renew our minds. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye conformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And we said perfect will of God for your life. How does God want us to think? He wants us to think with praise. He wants to be the object of our praise. There's a lot of things that we praise or we give glory to, but God should be the only thing or the only person who is the object of our praise. We know that there is opportunity for praise. I made this comment, and I don't know if you remember it or not, but remember this: laughter and anxiety cannot coexist. Right? Laughter and anxiety cannot coexist. The Bible tells us laughter doeth good like a medicine. And there's truth to that. If you've ever been down or you've ever been struggling with something personally in life, if you're around a situation that brings joy and brings laughter, you leave refreshed. You leave almost filled. I remember one time something was going on in life, and what it was is irrelevant, but it was stressful and brought a lot of anxiety and so forth. And we had a chance to go to a Christian concert, and it was an excellent concert. They had a Christian comedian there, and he was hilarious. And I remember just laughing the whole time, right? Well, not the whole time, but a lot of the time. And when we left, it was just a sense of renewal or refreshment. We need to think with poise. Satan wishes to destroy our faith through suffering, while God desires to refine us through our trials and through our problems. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." When we're still, in that silent time, in that quiet time, silence increases sensitivity, and at the same time, it decreases anxiety. When we have that stillness, that quiet time with our Heavenly Father. And then that brings us up to tonight in verse 6, where we need to think with prayer. Verse 6, the first part, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." We'll stop there just for a moment. When it says the word there, "be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer." Prayer here is a generic term, but it gives the idea of an action of prayer. That idea, and we've talked about this before, where we have the mindset of constant focus of prayer. The idea of praying without ceasing. We talked about this a little bit as well a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, it doesn't matter what we're doing in life, when we have those moments of stillness or those moments of being alone, maybe it's windshield time, or maybe you're just walking from point A to point B, but we have those opportunities, we have that potential to just spend time in prayer and just give our thoughts to the Lord, right? We can be distracted very easily. We can allow our thoughts to be polluted by the things of the world, but instead we need to give those times, those mindsets, in prayer to our Heavenly Father. And it's not always a formal prayer, right? You might be walking from point A to point B. It's not a matter that we walk around, and I'm not trying to be trite with this or disrespectful, but we don't walk around like Buddhist monks constantly in prayer and our hands folded and someone leading us. That's not what we're talking about. But just as we're walking, we say, "Lord, you know, just help me with this situation," or "help with this," or "Lord, I was thinking about this today." And we're just talking to God. Prayer is communication with God, but it's an active part. It takes action on our part in order for it to happen. Verse 6 there says prayer and supplication. Does anyone know what supplication is? That's a word we don't really use today. Anyone have any thoughts as what it means or what it's talking about? Request? Yeah. So it's a seeking or an asking, entreating to God or coming before God, and speaks of persistence and urgency in prayer. I'm surprised not everyone had that memorized, right? No, of course not. But it's, again, that active peace. It's persistence. It's a sense of urgency. Let's ask this question to ourselves, and let's just be honest, all right? We're in church. You shouldn't lie anyway, but you really shouldn't lie in church, right? But how often are we persistent, or how often do we show urgency in our prayers? What's usually the situation? What's that? A trial, right? When we're having some kind of a problem, when something isn't going our way. And I'm not saying they're not legitimate, right? They are. But we should have that attitude or that heart about everything we bring to the Lord. That we bring it because it's an expecting, that we're expecting Him to hear us, and we're expecting Him to answer us. Have you ever thanked God for prayers that He didn't answer the way that you wanted them answered? Have you ever looked back on something in life and think, "Boy, I prayed about this, and God said no, or he flipped it on me," and then saying, "Wow, I'm really glad He did." Why? Because in the big picture, we see how He worked things out. But we need to be active, persistent, having an urgency in our prayer. Verse 6, again, it says, "Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, making your request." Our request, again, petition. It is something that we are bringing before the throne. We're bringing before God, and we're laying them at His feet. Sometimes when we pray, I believe we fail at that part. Would you agree? We go before the throne of God. We go before and we bring things in prayer to Him, but we don't fully give it to Him. We don't lay it at His feet and trust Him for it. Instead, we try to hold on to it, right? We harbor it. We're not laying those requests at the feet of the throne or at the foot of the throne. But we need to request without worry. The beginning of verse 6 there says, be careful for nothing. That word careful there literally means full of care. The illusion of control will always develop anxiety. When we think we're in control, that is the time when we are most apt for anxiety to enter our life, right? Whether we put our guard down, whether we think, oh, I'm good, I've got this under control, that's when problems tend to happen. We talked about this several months ago, but look at the life of David, right? He decided to stay home from battle. When kings went to war, he stayed home. He was supposed to be with his soldiers, and he was not. He went out on his rooftop, and he looked upon Bathsheba. And whether in his mind he let his guard down thinking, oh, I can handle this, because I'm a good person, or I'm the king, I'm above the law, but he left his guard down. He didn't have himself, his heart, his mind, his spirit, where and how it needed to be. There was an issue with him being careful before the Lord. There was an issue with him using caution in his life. Psalm 56:3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. When we talk about anxiety, let's just be honest for a moment. There's a few truths about anxiety that I'm going to mention here very quickly. It takes our thoughts captive. If we've struggled with anxiety, it tends to be consuming in our life. It is worry. It's a lack of trust. It's pride in ourselves, thinking we can handle it instead of, again, giving it fully over to God. It's a mental state that we actively or passively accept. Ultimately, anxiety is a sin to be repented of because it shows a lack of faith. Instead of having that lack of faith, Philippians 4:6 teaches us to turn every care into a prayer. Did you ever hear that term before or that phrase before? Turn every care into a prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We need to give it to God. You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again tonight. We need to let go and let God. We need to fully give it over to Him, lay it at the throne, and walk away from it and have trust and faith that God's going to take care of it. It doesn't mean we're flippant about it. It doesn't mean that we don't care anymore about it. But what it does mean is we don't let it consume us. We don't let it overwhelm us to the point to where it is defeating us. I will be very honest. There's been times in my personal life where I've had anxiety very, very heavily. And as many times as I tried to turn it over, I didn't allow myself to fully give it to God. I didn't allow myself to fully let go and let God. I kept trying to fall back on my own personal abilities or my own personal thoughts and so forth. But that's not what the Word of God teaches us. It continues to teach us in verse 6, the tail end of the verse, it says, let your request be made known unto God. I'm sorry, I skipped it. Supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. With thanksgiving. You see, we need to think with peace. We need to request those requests with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Gratitude never comes from avoiding conflict, but from finding yourself sustained through it. We need to request with thanksgiving. Let me ask a question. When you're having a time of stress or anxiety in life, is your first thought process to give thanks for it? It's not for me. All right, I'll be honest. It's not for me. You know, sometimes it's blame. Sometimes it's anger. Usually it just goes into a level deep of worry or anxiety. But anxiety is something we deal with often, especially in our personal lives. We talked about that again a couple of weeks ago. We're up to at least 25% of all Americans at some point in their life will be treated for depression. At any given time, 15% of Americans are on some type of antidepressant to help them battle these things. We would be ignorant to think that that doesn't affect people in the body of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, out of our church, 15% are, I don't know, all right? I don't have any idea. And frankly, I don't need to know or want to find that out. But what I am saying is we need to understand it, that it is something that people battle with every single day. We need to be sensitive to it, and we need to make sure that we understand how it needs to be dealt with so we can then help others properly deal with it. Excuse me. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. This is by heavenly design. See, peace comes from God through salvation. Peace with God produces the peace of God. Did you catch that? To have peace with God, that will produce peace, the peace of God. If we don't have peace in our life, and by having peace with God doesn't mean that we're not at war with God. What that means is we are surrendered over to our Heavenly Father. We've given our life, we've given our problems, we've given our anxieties, we've given our worries, and we've truly surrendered it over to our Heavenly Father. Now understand, that's easier said than done. All right. I fully understand that. I'm not trying to make things, you know, lighthearted in any way, shape or form. Romans 5:1-2 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith in order to have peace with Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We need to understand that positional grace, that positional peace comes through God and God alone. It's what we would call almost a progressive peace. That will keep him, this is Isaiah 26, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Did you catch those verses? I'm going to read them one more time. They're fundamental in this topic of having peace in your life. It says that will keep him in perfect peace, whose what? Mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. If our mind is stayed upon God, if it is stayed upon the Father, we then will have the peace of God in our lives. Trust thee in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I don't know about you, but there are definitely times where I feel very physically, mentally, emotionally, and even spiritually weak in life, right? The last couple of weeks, I have felt very physically weak. Along with that came a sense of mental fatigue. I shared with a couple of people, and you know, I said, I've had severe brain fog lately. Just be very honest, and if you understand what that is. And some people have joked and said, I have that all the time. Well, when it multiplies rapidly, it's difficult to deal with. I tend to be the kind of person where I have two or three things in my mind at all times. And when I can't even get like a bits or pieces of things, it gets frustrating. But we need to stay our mind, stay our focus, keep our heart, our mind, every part of us focused on the things of God, because that's where our everlasting strength comes from. There was a man, he was a German pastor. His name was Martin Niemöller. He was a pastor back in previous to World War II. He spent years in solitude and concentration camps because he denounced Hitler. Somehow, during his persecution and his solitude, he was allowed to have a Bible. he said this. He says, "What did this book mean to me during the long and weary years of solitary confinement? And then the last 4 years at Dachau, the Word of God was simply everything to me. Comfort and strength, guidance and hope, master of my days and companions of my night, the bread which kept me from starvation, and the water of life that refreshed my soul." This man was put in some of the worst conditions imaginable, but by God's grace, he was permitted to have a Bible. And the Bible became his everything, his bread, his water, the refreshment. That is a good lesson for us to learn. The more that we are struggling with stress, anxiety, problems of life, doesn't matter what they are, the more we need to spend time in God's Word. The more we need to spend time praying with our Heavenly Father. Why? Because if we need renewed, if we need refreshed, that is where we can find it. Helpful by design. Look at the second part of verse 7. It says, "Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The phrase there, "shall keep," I found this interesting. It was from a military word meaning "shall mount guard." Shall mount guard. It kind of heightens those words a little bit, doesn't it? It's not just keeping it, it's mounting a guard. So if we look at verse 7, and I'm not trying to change the words of the Bible, understand that, but it says, "shall keep," or "we shall mount guard our hearts." We need to guard, we need to protect our hearts. We need to protect our minds. We need to protect that which goes into our minds, that which goes into our hearts. You see, God's peace guards the believer's mind. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." God is not the author of confusion. God is the author of peace. Part of anxiety, part of that stress comes down to a lack of peace, comes down to a confusing peace in your mind, in your heart. And we need to stay focused on the peace of God. And see, it has a foundation that the belief that God does all things well. God does all things perfectly. Now, verse 8, staying on track, a prescription for continued peace. We've talked about how to get our minds and our hearts focused and stayed on God. Now, here's the prescription to keep it going. Here's something before we get into verse 8. This is something I believe we struggle with, especially in America, and not just in America, but I think Americans are huge on it. Why? Because we can't keep our attention for more than 35 seconds at a time, right? We can't keep our attention focused where it needs to be. We get distracted. We say, "All right, God, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to be. This is where I want to stay my mind and my heart focused." And then we get that squirrel moment. Right? Or that first little distraction or problem that comes away and it pulls our attention, it pulls us away from where we had just focused our mind or our heart. But verse 8 is the prescription of pure thoughts. Look at verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report." Stop there just a minute. We're going to go through that list very quickly. Maybe. True. Whatsoever things are true. Loving truth. Speaking the truth. Being true in character, being true to oneself, being true to the things of God, being honest literally means to be venerated for character or honorable. Oftentimes when we think of honor, we think of a soldier, someone who is honorable. To be just is righteous or upright. To be lovely, things that are acceptable or pleasing. When we think about the things that are lovely to God, we think of things, what is acceptable or pleasing. I've shared this a couple of times, the WWJD, what would Jesus do? This lovely is the same concept. If you say, I'm not sure if this is something that's pleasing to God, if you say in your mind, you can literally ask yourself, would this be lovely to the Lord? Literally, that would mean, is it acceptable to God? Is it acceptable? Is it pleasing to the Heavenly Father? Or is it pleasing simply to flesh? Which way? But it's a good litmus test. A good report, sounding well or highly regarded, well thought of. The things of God that are well thought of. We need to develop pure thoughts. Look at the second part of verse 8. If there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. The first half of the verse gives the descriptions of the right kind of thoughts. How do we develop these as our regular thought pattern? We need to purposely think about what we are thinking about. Did you catch that? Did you get it? We need to think about what we are thinking about. Challenge yourself. Challenge yourself. Think through your day. Now, you don't do it right now. You'll get distracted and rabbit trail off. But think through your day and think through your time. Where did you spend your time? What did you spend it doing? And then when you figure out what you spent your time doing, think about what did you spend your time thinking about? Where was your mind focused today? How much of that time was focused on the things of God? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When we think about what we're thinking about, every thought that we have thought for our entire life, you realize God knows. Boy, that makes you feel squirmy, doesn't it? Right? Let's be honest. Hey, I'm right there. Anything we think about, God knows. He's seen it. He knows what we're thinking. He knows our thoughts. He knows our intents. We can be the best looking Christian on the outside, but God knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows why we do what we do. You don't have to worry about me knowing it. It doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about me telling or telling me what you think someone else is thinking about. It doesn't matter. Why? Because God knows. We need to develop virtuous thinking. The word virtue, moral goodness, and any particular more excellence, modesty, purity. We need to develop approved thoughts. The word praise, it says if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, approbation or commendation to the things of God. That when something does come our way, we're instantly giving God the glory. We're giving God the praise for those things. Why? Because it's not us, it's Him. Now look at verse 9. And we're winding down very rapidly, I promise. It says, those things which ye have both learned. He says, listen, I've taught these things to you. You know them. Don't pretend you don't. And received, right? Like you've gotten it. It's not just something that you've learned as a head knowledge. You've learned it in your heart. I've seen evidence of it in your life. And received and heard and seen in me. What is Paul saying right there? He said it several times throughout Philippians. What does he mean by that? I need a break from talking. Someone's saying. His example. He says, you've seen it in me. You've seen it in my life. I have been a good example. Not perfect, but he said, I've been a good example. Those things that you've seen in me, do them. You've learned them. You know them. You understand them. I've explained them. I've showed you how to do it. You need to go do them. And the end of verse 9, it says, and the God of peace shall be with you. If you want the God of peace, if you want God's peace to be with you, then you need to do the things that he tells you to do. You need to be active in the things of God. You will not have God's peace in your life. You can read the Bible for hours a day. You can spend time in prayer. You can spend time improving your mental and your heart state. And that's wonderful. But if we don't spend time actively doing the things God wants us to do and practicing them, we're not going to have God's peace in our life. We're not going to have that perfect peace that only God can give. That's, again, and I've said this before, but you know, the verses we're doing, you know, Romans 10:9, I realize probably most everybody in the church knows those things, but it's a good refresher, bless you. It's a good reminder to know that this is why we do what we do, that we're using them for God's glory. You can be the most brilliant intellectual person in the world. You can have the scriptures memorized from front to back. There are people that know more of the Bible than I can ever begin to fathom. But if we're not using it, if we're not applying it to our life, if we're not sharing it with others, we're not going to have God's peace.